And so we don't get the full story unless we get all 41 verses. So let us hear the word of God as I read it, and then as I seek to preach from it. It is inspired of him. It is inerrant. And again, it is, thus saith the Lord. So let's hear him. John chapter 9. And as he, talking about Jesus, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And so he went away and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the one. Therefore, they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? He answered, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed as I received sight. And they said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees him who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Again, therefore, the Pharisees also were asking him how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. They said, therefore, to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. The Jews, therefore, did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He's of age. He shall speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. And the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He therefore answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They said therefore to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? And they reviled him and said, you are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, well, Here's an amazing thing that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, "You were born entirely in sin, and are you teaching us?" And they put him out. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We sin.' We see. Your sin remains." So in this chapter 9, we see our Lord Jesus Christ performing another miracle. He's already performed 5 before this one. First one was when he turned water into wine at the wedding. Then he healed an official's son. Then he healed a lame man. Then he fed 5,000 plus with a few fish, with a couple of fish and a few loaves, or vice versa, whatever it was. It was a small amount. And he blessed that and fed many. And they even had baskets left over. And he also walked on the water. Now he is going to heal a man who was born blind. And this whole section is not only about him healing the man born blind, but the reaction of people as a result of that. Now, again, we know that the Pharisees did not like Jesus. They did not approve of Jesus. They actually hated Jesus. They wanted to kill Jesus. And they didn't approve of what he did or when he did it and a lot of other things. But nonetheless, God reveals to us a good bit in this chapter about not only Jesus and his ministry, but the man born blind and the Pharisees and the reaction of others to what Jesus did. Well, back up for just a moment to the first 2 verses. First of all, go back to verse 59 in the previous chapter. "Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." And so now he has left the temple and he is going somewhere else. And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples obviously were with him. And so they asked Jesus the question, Well, who sinned in order for this to happen, for this man to be born blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin? Now, I don't know what was going through the disciples' mind, but my immediate reaction to their question was I would have wanted to correct the disciples by saying, are you accusing him of sinning while he was in his mother's womb before he was ever born? And it might be possible that infants can do that while still in their mother's womb. But nonetheless, the story picks up with him being born in the condition he was in. And the disciples want to know, did he sin? Maybe they were thinking of, well, maybe after he was born and he committed some awful sin up through his life up to this point. It doesn't tell us how old he was. It does tell us he was a man. And so he was probably beyond, I would guess, the teenage years. And so there was plenty of time there from birth until where he is today when the story picks it up. for him to have sinned a good bit, and they could have been big ones, little ones, or in between ones. But nonetheless, the disciples just could not grasp that a person could be born blind without someone sinning, and this being some kind of punishment of God upon him or his parents for that kind of sinful behavior. Well, just like in the book of Job, those so-called friends of Job, what did they accuse Job of doing, and what was their continuous counsel to him? They were saying, Job, you're in the condition you're in because of some sin in your life. What you need to do is confess and repent, and then things will be better. And Job's response was, no, my condition doesn't have anything to do with that. I have not warranted this kind of condition as a result or consequence of my sin. And yet his so-called friends kept accusing him of being in that position because of his sin. And if we read carefully the first chapter of the book of Job, we learn and understand that it was God who gave Satan permission to attack Job and to do harm to him. Job suffered by the will of God. Nothing more, nothing less. And so we find the same thing, the same principle here. In verse number 3, Jesus answered and said to them, neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. So Jesus answered the disciples simply by saying, this man was born blind by the will of God for this purpose, for what I'm going to do and what the reaction is going to be. God is sovereign, in control of all these things, and that's why things come to pass as they do, because of the sovereignty of God. Now, he doesn't use that language, but that's basically what he communicated to his disciples. He went on to say, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work, and while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And this is the second time that he has identified himself as being the light of the world. He first shared that and taught about that in a couple of previous chapters, and now he says it again. And so here is what he did, verses 6 and following. When Jesus said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to the eyes of this man born blind. Now, obviously, Jesus simply could have spoken the word see, and the man could have seen. That's what he did with that official's son. He was a good distance from the official's son. They were nowhere in proximity of each other, and yet Jesus healed that official's son. But here, he spits upon the ground and makes clay out of the spittle and applies that to his eyes. Now, we might think that a little gross. I mean, who wants somebody else's spit on them, you know? But I think the Lord had a good reason for doing it the way he did. He wanted, again, to draw out those Pharisees and to expose them in their hearts and their minds for the people that they are. And we'll get to that in a moment. But nonetheless, this is what Jesus did. And he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And so he went away and washed and came back seeing. Jesus told him what to do, and he did it. Now, there is a good lesson for us right there. If we get nothing else today, let's get this. You want to be blessed? Do what Jesus tells you to do. It's that simple. We know from the Old Testament, God blesses, and the New Testament too, God blesses obedience, but he does not bless disobedience, although he can bring good out of disobedience, and many times he does that. But nonetheless, to secure the blessing of God, we must submit our will to his will and follow him as Lord and seek to put into practice what he says, in other words, to obey him. Again, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Just that plain and simple. And so this blind man, born blind from birth, did what Jesus told him to do. And he came back seeing. Now, the story picks up with the neighbors of the man born blind, and I guess his family, parents too. I would assume that he lived with his parents, having been born blind, not able to see or do a whole lot probably for himself, although we know in our history that blind people have accomplished some great things and have been able to be very independent and self-supporting. And praise be to God that he has enabled some to do just that. But many of them are dependent on others. I can only imagine what it would be like to be blind. I think that would be, in my mind anyway, one of the worst things that could ever happen to me. I don't know what I'd do. I'd be stumbling and bumping into everything and just, you know, it wouldn't be good. And I hope the Lord never allows that to happen to me. But nonetheless, if we have good eyesight, we should give thanks to God for that, because there are some who do not. And yet, that's a blessing of God that we do. Well, the neighbors come into the picture, and they began to talk among themselves, and some were saying they previously saw him as a beggar. And is this the one who used to sit and beg? Now, they see him changed. They see him seeing. They see him moving about as they would move about. They see the change that the Lord brought to pass in this blind man's life. And so they asked the question. It hadn't sunk into them that he's been healed. And so their conversation is, hey, isn't he the one that used to sit and beg? What's he doing acting normal like the rest of them? Others were saying, this is he. Others were saying, no, but it looks like him. But the man himself and his testimony, he kept reminding them and others, he will, I am the one. Yes, I'm the very one that used to sit and beg. I'm the very one that was born blind. But I'm not blind any longer. Jesus did something, told me to do something, and I did, and I came back seeing. So they asked the question, how then were your eyes opened? How did that happen? Well, obviously, that's a good question to ask, and I'm sure I would have asked the same question had I been there. This is unusual. This isn't normal. This is extraordinary that you were born blind, but now you're no longer blind. Your eyes are open. You can see like the rest of us. How did that happen? And so he answered and said, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And so I went away and washed, and I received sight. And they said to him, well, where is he? And he said, I do not know. Now they brought to the Pharisees him who was formerly blind, the neighbors did. Now, it was a Sabbath on the day that Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Now, we know what the Pharisees are going to think about that. They did the same thing. Their reaction was the same about Jesus when he healed the lame man and told him, take up your pallet and walk. And that was a Sabbath day. And they got all bent out of shape about that because they accused Jesus of telling the man to work. And the man did what he said. So they were both guilty of breaking the Sabbath. How could he be from God and not obey or keep the Sabbath? Those things are not consistent with each other. It was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And again, therefore, the Pharisees also were asking him how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And we know that word signs is synonymous with miracles. How can a man who is a sinner perform such miracles? How could a sinful man cause a blind man to see? That's supernatural. That's not natural. And by the way, he didn't have any surgery. We have eye doctors nowadays, and many of us, I haven't had mine yet, but I'm in line, and I'm confident the Lord lets me live long enough, I'll get it. They call it cataract surgery. It helps you, supposed to anyway, from what I hear, helps you to see better. You're not blind, but yet you can get that improved. What's that other procedure they do? Laser or whatever, yeah. What is it? LASIK, is that it? Anyway, our son had that. Before he had that surgery, he was wearing glasses and it looked like they came out of the bottom of Coca-Cola bottles. I mean, they were that thick. Because he reads a lot and had to do that. In his profession and college career and all the rest. But anyway, he got that surgery, no more glasses. I was amazed. I mean, the first time I saw him, I thought, I kind of did like that. And where are your glasses? Dad, I don't need them now. Had that, whatever it is. In 2020, I'm good to go. So we can get help with our eyesight. That's what I'm saying this day and age. But back then, the man born blind didn't have any kind of surgery. Jesus healed him and restored his sight. And he did it on a Sabbath day. And now the Pharisees are all bent out of shape with Jesus because he made spittle and applied the clay to the man's eyes. And they translate that into work on the Sabbath day, which no one is supposed to do. Well, Jesus did, and it was a miraculous thing. And because of this discussion among them, there was a division among them. Some wanted to call Jesus a sinner. Definitely not of God. No way he could be of God and break the Sabbath. And others were saying, how can a sinner perform such a supernatural miracle as this? Those two thoughts are not consistent with each other. They're opposed to each other. Well, then they said, the Pharisees did to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Since he opened your eyes. And the blind man said, well, he is a prophet. And so the Jews or Pharisees therefore did not believe it of him that he had been blind. They weren't even accepting that he had been blind, much less that he had been healed. Now they call the parents, these Pharisees. Well, if he was born blind, the parents ought to be able to give testimony about that. Maybe we'll ask them. Is that even true that he was born blind? And so they get the parents and they question them. And they ask the parents, is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see? If that's true, that he was born blind, how does he now see? How does that happen? Well, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. And so they give that testimony. Yes, he's our son. Yes, he was born blind. What you've heard concerning that is absolutely true. So they ask, now, well, how does he now see? And so their answer was, we don't know. Or who opened his eyes? We do not know. Ask him. He's of age. And it goes on to say they did this because they were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of these Pharisees. And they had heard that their position was, if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And so they wanted to be truthful to a certain extent. Yes, this is our son. Yes, he was born blind. How did he get his eyes open? We don't know. Go ask him. He's of age. He can tell you. So what do they do? They call this man back to them a second time. They've already asked him one time, and he explained. He told them what happened. He told them what Jesus did, what Jesus told him to do, what he went and did, and that he came back seeing. He's already given them his testimony. So they call him back a second time. Now they say to him, give glory to God. We know that this man, talking about Jesus, we know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. But here's his testimony again, the man born blind. Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now, I cannot answer all your questions about Jesus. I don't know the answer to your questions about Jesus, but I can tell you this. I was blind and now I see. Now, you can do with that whatever you want to. That's the truth. That's the way it is. That's how it's happened. And so they therefore said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Now listen to his testimony again, a second time. And now he says to them, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Well, I can imagine that didn't set very well with these Pharisees, obviously. Now he asked the question, the man born blind, asked the Pharisees, you do not want to become his disciples too, do you? They reviled him and said, you are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. I mean, you know, aren't we great? Aren't we so spiritual? We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. And now the blind man continues to share more of testimony. And he said to them, well, here's an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. I mean, if you guys are so smart and so spiritual and know so much, why don't you know that? Seems to me like you don't really know as much as you think you do. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. And so the blind man was saying, I know how unique this is. Nobody's ever heard of this before. I can tell you this, it happened this time, and it's for real. I was born blind. This is what Jesus did. This is what he told me to do. My eyes are now open and I can see. That's my testimony. That will continue to be my testimony because it's the truth. That's the way it is. And he goes on to say, if this man, talking about Jesus, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. In good old Southern terms, how do we say it? The proof is in the pudding, right? That's what he's telling. This man were not from God. He couldn't do this. He couldn't perform these miraculous supernatural things. No one that's not from God can do these sorts of things. He's got to be from God. Well, they didn't like that. So what do? They put him out. Put him out of the synagogue. So now, verse 35 and following, Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, Jesus asked him this question. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Now again, remember that phrase, the Son of Man, Jesus uses that, applies it to himself, and it's the phrase that's also in the book of Daniel to identify the God-man, the one who is both man and God. And we know that Jesus is the Son of Man and the Son of God. But in this phrase, as it's used in Daniel, and as Jesus applies it to himself, he identifies himself as God in the flesh who came to dwell among us. And that's who he is. So he asked the man, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered and said, and who is he, Lord, that I should believe in him? And Jesus said, you have both seen him. And he is the one who is talking to you. And so his response was, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. So Jesus not only opened his eyes physically so he could see, but he opened his heart and mind spiritually so that he could see the truth of who Jesus is, and he worshiped him. So Jesus went on to say, for judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Here he's bringing up this idea again of what he's said earlier in chapter 1 and chapter 6 about there are two kinds of people. Those who are saved and those who are lost. Those who can see and those who are blind. Those who will spend eternity in heaven. Those who will die and spend eternity in the fire of hell. The sheep and the goats. So now the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see. Your sin remains. Turn with me quickly to the book of 1 Peter for just a moment. I want to read two verses out of 1 Peter chapter 2, and the verses are 9 and 10. And all who believe, the man born blind, and all who believe in the day of Jesus and every day since, even now, it includes us. And here's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And you see, the application of what the Lord did with the man born blind is the same thing that he's done for us. He chose us. He called us. He gave us sight. He delivered us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He opened our minds and our hearts to understand the gospel and to believe it, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him, his life, death, shed blood, and resurrection, plus nothing else for our forgiveness and life everlasting.